The fifth paramita is meditative concentration. Our practice and training in discipline and not harming others will enable us to lessen our harmful verbal and physical behaviors and eventually eliminate them. Our minds will become calmer and less agitated. When our minds are thus settled, we will be better able to concentrate. Our concentration will initially reduce and then gradually eliminate our negative thoughts and emotional behavior. We will then gain meditative concentration, which will enable us to uncover our innate wisdom. Thus, discipline, meditative concentration, and wisdom work together and are complementary. Developing concentration counters our myriad wandering thoughts and helps us to focus. We become less easily distracted by others or circumstances. We begin our practice by calming the mind and focusing our attention on one thing for a certain length of time. In everyday activities, we can practice concentration in whatever we are doing. Most of us have experienced being totally absorbed in a task we enjoy very much. Before we began the activity, we might have felt tired. But as soon as we became engrossed in the activity, our weariness dissolved. Or we might have been hungry before we started. But that too passed unnoticed. At some point, someone or something interrupted us, and we were surprised to see that so much time had passed. This is concentration, a state of single-mindedness that has few distractions. There are no worrying thoughts and no thoughts of time or of where we are. Due to our focused attention, and the reduction of aimless wandering thoughts. This is a state in which we may even feel more energetic than before we began. By being calm and focused, anyone can achieve this concentration and thus develop a serene and stable mind. We can use concentration in many activities, at work and at home, and with family and friends. To help us attain a more spiritual state of concentration, there are many things we can focus on. A flower, the sound of a bird, our breath, Amitabha, the name of a Buddha. Each of these can help us find varying degrees of peace and happiness. Whatever type of meditation we practice, we will find that we will benefit much more if we practice to attain a specific goal, such as one befitting our Buddhist practice. Where is a good place to deepen our practice of concentration? Where we can live a simple but contented life without being distracted by frivolous activities or unnecessary sense stimuli, as these will just distract us and deplete our energy. We also need good friends who will properly support us and patiently help us discover our shortcomings. Friends who are committed to achieving the same goals we are. What are the personal criteria for such practice? A wholesome life that does not harm others, enthusiasm and joy in what we undertake, honesty in everything we do, and a sincere determination to seek liberation for ourselves and others. Our practice of meditative concentration will lead us to the last of the six paramitas, wisdom. Wisdom counters ignorance and enables us to know how best to help others and to improve ourselves, including our ability to get along well with others. This wisdom is not that which is gained through intense study and analysis of many diverse subjects. That would be seeking wisdom from external sources. The wisdom that we are speaking of is intuitive wisdom. The Buddha experienced this intuitive wisdom after he sat down on a cushion of grass, lightly closed his eyes, and entered a state of meditation. As he went deeper and deeper into that meditative state, he left study, analysis, and his previous practice of deprivation behind him. He went deep within himself and reached the state where he saw the reality of what was happening within him, around him, and throughout the universe. He finally experienced the true and complete reality, arising as it did from deep within him. By attaining a serene and stable mind, he was able to achieve single-minded concentration. Undistracted by external conditions and no longer disturbed by emotions or pointless thoughts, he eliminated the poisons of the mind and uncovered what he, for innumerable lifetimes, had been seeking: perfect wisdom. He reached it and entered it. This wisdom enabled him to realize that there is no independent self, and that everything is part of one entity. Causality of any event in one being's life has the potential to affect the causality of beings throughout the universe. Just as the movement of one drop of water in an immense ocean will result in the movement of every drop of water in that ocean. We are all one. When we look across the room and see that person whom we are so angry with and whom we almost wish to strike, it is the same as being very angry with ourselves and wanting to hit ourselves. Does our left hand become angry with our right hand? Do they fight over who will open the door we wish to go through? Do they debate which one will pick up a cup of coffee? Does something belong to my left hand, but not to my right? We can see and understand the absurdity of such dualities, but our understanding stops there. We do argue with the person who is standing next to us. We do fight over who will be first. We do debate the use of and the ownership of possessions. We see dualities between ourselves and everyone else because we are far from understanding. We have not yet touched our true wisdom. Lacking wisdom, we look at reality but do not see it. It is as if we are viewing it through a tiny, blurred window. We think that we see the whole truth. Another person looks through his tiny, blurred window and is equally convinced that he has seen the whole truth. Although what we each see is different and therefore results in different viewpoints, we are each convinced that we alone are right. We debate, argue, and fight. Convinced of our infallibility, we may even kill for our beliefs. If only we had just communicated better and shared what we each had seen through our respective windows, we might have understood a little more. But without wisdom, we each view our tiny distorted piece of reality and take it for the true state of reality. We think we perceive the whole truth through our five senses, our eyes, ears, nose, tongue, and body, as we see, hear, smell, taste, and touch our tiny piece of reality. We automatically conclude what we perceive to be the complete and true reality. As a result, all of our thoughts are based on blurred bits of reality, misperceptions of what we mistake for the complete truth. Our basically flawed conclusions lead us to discriminate, thereby developing a sense of ego or self. We think that I refers to ourselves, that you refers to another person, and that they refers to everyone else. We begin to judge others and find most of them wanting. Those we like or love, we praise as good. Others we dislike or hate, we condemn as bad. We do not truly care about the people and things that fall in between. We have expectations, and when they are not met, we suffer disappointment. But when they are met, we develop new expectations as the situation changes. We become emotionally attached and cling to those we love and things we like. We find disturbing and repellent those people and things we hate and dislike. We are never completely content. Going through life with all its ups and downs feels like an emotional roller coaster. Even when we find ourselves thinking that life is good, we sense that we might be at a peak and worry about plummeting down again. We put others and ourselves through this emotional roller coaster because we have not yet uncovered our wisdom. Perhaps we were fortunate enough to have touched this insight for a brief moment when our minds were serene and stable, when our thoughts were on benefiting others, and when our enthusiasm and joy were strong within us. In that one instant, we had a glimmer of what was correct, honest, and beneficial. But in a flash, it was gone again. everything we need is already within us. We have been talking about finding happiness and love and respect. We have been searching with our senses, looking for happiness and love, listening for them, trying to savor or touch them. But that has not worked. Upon closer proximity, what we thought was happiness and love was just a temporary sense indulgence, not the real thing. They did not last. It was as the Buddha said, a flash of lightning, a drop of dew. 1 minute, they are in our hands. The next instant, they are gone. Why? In our ignorance, in our lack of understanding of what is really happening, we look for happiness, goodness, and peace in the wrong places. They are not outside somewhere, waiting for us to find them. They are inside of ourselves. They are in the heart of every being. They are the same in every being. Happiness, goodness, and peace are who we really are. They are our true nature, our Buddha nature. How do we find our true nature? Unconditional giving, moral training, deep felt patience, and enthusiastic effort will enable us to develop meditative concentration. With meditative concentration, we will touch our innate wisdom. If we begin to practice these six paramitas, and even just some small measure every day, starting with today, gradually, we will begin to look in the right direction. And eventually, we will awaken to the perfect goodness, perfect contentment, and perfect joy that are already within our true nature, our Buddha nature.